CQC report, and I'm pleased to see Maggie, who I know is a busy person, who is here. I think it might just be useful to quickly introduce the colleague next to you, who I fortunately had the pleasure of meeting yesterday, just so that members are aware who you are.
Thank you, Dave. Yes, hello everyone. My name is Laura Wilson. I'm a project manager of the Trust, with Maggie obviously. I've been working very closely with the acute sensory design work, and I'm now taking a sort of slightly broader look at stakeholder engagement and communications from the local care board sector, because of course acute sensory design is intrinsically tied up with community sensory design until now, learning autism and things like that. Thank you.
Thank you, welcome. Obviously, you know, we met yesterday in some media training work we've done, and your impact was immediate because even our planning officers now understand what acute design is about, which is quite
good.
So, Maggie, sorry, back to you now.
Thanks, Dave. And obviously, I'm joined today by the Barbara Stoppel, our chief nurse, and we're going to do a combined approach to delivering this report. We take it in the spirit of how you open the meeting with, I think the more value is in the discussion as opposed to this repeating the verbatim off in the paper. And where I think it's very important salient points that Barbara wants to draw members' attention to. We have had a quality summit meeting in the Trust last month to discuss the findings of the CPC's visit in January, and we are planning a further meeting with the members of the Health and Youth Group to the Committee in September, where we are going to repeat the quality summit and introduce to the Health and Youth Group to the members a number of our staff who will be key in some of the recovery work that we've been doing. The caveat to this paper for me is sadly the way we work in health. CQC visit was in January, we got the report in May, and we now find ourselves in July. So what I do want to stress today is that we're talking about where we were in January, not where we are at today. And I think sometimes that can be quite misleading for the public and the wider community. So I do want to emphasise a great deal of work has been going on in the Trust since this report in January, and I'll pass on to some other salient points.
Thank you, Maggie. Really to point again that there were quite a few services that were inspected for the first time, so it wasn't as though that all services had deteriorated. Some services hadn't been inspected since 2014, so quite a full, comprehensive review. As you'll see in the paper, that there are quite a few areas where it was acknowledged that there was outstanding practice, and I think that's also important to say that that there were signs that there is not all doom and gloom and its pockets and its areas. And I think, as it says in the CQC report, it's around consistency rather than a total failure. But the way that, as Maggie's highlighted, the way the Care Quality Commission rate the Trust, it's that, you know, you either are or you aren't, and it's total. It isn't anything that, as a board, we didn't expect. Certainly the new executive team hadn't been there long enough to, it's not an excuse, but it's reality, that to actually get the, you know, to actually make the improvements that we had. Since the visit in January, because obviously we did get a verbal feedback, and one of the things that's been, which is unacceptable, is where the CQC said to us that our services were unsafe. Some of this was systems and processes, it wasn't actually about direct contact with patients. And I really want to stress that. It still doesn't make it right, and I'm not excusing that. Since January, we've been working extremely hard to actually improve what we do and engage with our staff to get this right. We've developed a, we call it a 10-week plan. So in 8 of the services where there are, that were rated unsafe, we have a 10-week plan of about how to turn this around, because the Trust Board is adamant that this is unacceptable, which it is. And we've been, I have to say that the improvement from that 10-week plan is really starting to show dividends. It doesn't stop in 10 weeks, but we'll move on to maybe requires improvement. You know, there's a lot of work to do to turn the ship around. But certainly the engagement from staff and the, I think, the positive impact on our patients has been quite profound, and certainly our compliments has been actually increased in around, you know, in that this is a good hospital and things. So I'm not saying it's all fixed, you know, I'm not sort of deluding anyone. We do have an awful lot of work to do. It was acknowledged in the CQC report that there was confidence in the new executive team, but it was acknowledged that it was too early to say, you know, that it was a required improvement, so we are looking forward. We do have our strap line at the moment is getting to good by 2020. That is our aim, that we will have a good rating from the Care Quality Commission by 2020 for all our services. It is a phenomenal amount of work. It's quite a tough sort of aspiration to do that, but I do genuinely believe, as the Director of Nursing for the Trust, that it is the right aspiration to have, because we do need to get our services right. I could go on and on, but I won't, but I'm sure Maggie and I are happy to take questions.
Just saying thank you for that. What part of 2020?
And again, that, I would like to just pick back up on that point. Barbara's mentioned the 10-week plans that we've had for safety improvements and the significant improvements that we've seen through that. We've had a number of assurance visits through NHSR, which are indicating that though they have had a significant effect. And we're in a dilemma now as an organisation, because we've got a very good relationship with the CQC. Barbara rightly said they were very supportive of us as a new leadership team. But the dilemma for us is, if we ask the CQC to come back in early, and they change the rating from inadequate to requires improvement in 2018 or early 2019, there's no requirement for them to come back to those services for up to 3 years. And if they don't come back as RI, we won't achieve the goal of getting to good by 2020. So there's something now for us about the timing of those next visits. And I think through the work that we do transparently through Trust Board and through the openness with our opening and scrutiny committee, we want to try and reassure the community that we're making the right changes without entering into a timetable which could negatively affect the overall endpoint in June in 2020. So at the moment, I don't think it's as simple as giving you that timing. And I hope that we would before 2020, and I think we'll see that through some of the board reports in relation to complaints and incidents that we see the episodes of CALM, our staff survey suggesting at some point that the staff are ready to make some better organisations. But we all come up on when we get the official confirmation from the CQC. The longer we've been answering today, but as much as it's our strap line and our aspiration, I don't think it's right for us to stay here with health and wellbeing for this particular moment.
No, that's fine. I'm just getting a bit on a pace person. A couple of things I want to mention. So, remind new members who are around February, this is not a scrutiny committee. There is a health and adult social care scrutiny committee led by Councillor Don Nicholson, which has a role, statutory role, to fulfil. So, we can pass things over to them if we wish, but we are here to receive the report. John's here, thank you, John. We are here to receive reports and. If we do feel there's an issue that we feel scrutiny can look at, I've already previously spoken to John, and he will most definitely pick that up on our behalf. So I say that because if I interrupt and say that's a bit of scrutiny, then it's because I want to do back in there. And I'm very excited on the work that this Health and Social Care Scrutiny Committee have done in certain areas, and I appreciate John coming in today because he's been out offline speaking to me. The second thing I wanted to
just ask someone there. On behalf of the local councils, whom I have been re-elected to represent for the next year, at the start of the meeting you said the primary purpose of this health and wellbeing board is to ensure the delivery of the services we discuss here. Now I fully understand the role of health scrutiny, which is a toothless watchdog in disrespect to John, but a toothless watchdog in my 14 years experience of that committee. What I'm failing to understand as a representative of local councils, and as an ally councillor, is how the Health and Wellbeing Board can ensure delivery other than, and is it not just effectively still a talking shop of the great and the good in this business, where we're still not delivering in so many aspects of Health and Wellbeing Board, Health and Wellbeing on the Isle of Wight. I appreciate an answer to that, because people often ask me that when I submit my reports to them. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. And the members who have met Jeff before, Jeff certainly robustly represents the interests of the Isle of Wight people in Tier 2, and like you say. I think we'll say that we'll use the report we just had from Maggie before we go into any questions for clarification. For me, chairing the Health and Wellbeing Board, that report forms the baseline for which we now can receive priority updates as to what's happening, which is why I asked when in January. I note when you said 10 weeks to the next level, I note we have a Health and Wellbeing Board on the 25th of October, which is 12 weeks. So I think what we can do is, on the basis that we are moving forward, we can ask you for an update at the next meeting. When can you highlight how you move forward from the baseline, if that makes sense? And I think that gives you a bit of a structure to work to. And also, as Jeff rightly points out, it means we as a Health and Wellbeing Board are getting insight into what's moving forward. I fully accept, especially when you highlighted this was a report back in January, that things would have moved on, but I think we would probably want to hear how, so that we can help if there's any way we can help, because that's part of our role as the priority sector. Are you okay with that on this report, Jeff?
Well, I mean, there's still an element of continuous deferral. I reflected on my reports to IWOP over the last year, last night, and it's continual deferral, whether it's the Trust, whether it's the CCG, those two organisations in particular. And in my, you know, most of the time on the Health and School Report, I've just returned to it after a year's absence. They're ignored. So I'm puzzled as to how anybody can hold to account what, in my view, is two failing organisations on the Isle of Wight. If it's not Isle of Wight Health and Wellbeing Board, are we ever going to get the Health Scrutiny Committee listened to? I've talked to Councillor Dickelson about that. In fact, he's making his best efforts to try and change that culture. But I'm not convinced. I went to the CQC annual meeting last week where the decision of the Health Scrutiny to informally pass a vote no confidence in the CQC was effectively ignored. And it was only because I raised it at that meeting that we got the usual, sorry, being mouthed apologies. And I just feel that consistently both the CQC, and the Trust Board are just not reacting to the real concerns of Ireland on behalf of Wight. Thank you.
Okay. Do you want to come back on that point? And then if there are any other views that other members of the board have got, I'd like to hear them. I'm mindful this is on this particular topic, but actually it's probably the right place to air concerns, if that's the right place. And if there is anything we want taken forward to scrutiny, John is here and can take it forward. So back to you, Amy.
Thank you. It does sadden me to hear Councillor Bowley's comments, but I can only really talk about my own organisation. And the comment, and maybe after we could pick up some of this up after the meeting, but I'm not aware that we've deferred anything from my trust in the time that I've been there. One of the things that we take extremely seriously is restoring the confidence of our community in our services. It's the only way we will restore our staffing levels to the levels that we need them to be, because our staff are our community. I'm very happy in any way that we can with our local councillors to show them the improvements that we're making. At the moment, we are exactly where we predicted we would be in the 12 months that I've been with the Trust. I've said this in many forums, and I'll say it again this morning. On average, in the 33 trusts that have been special measures before us, it's taken 19 months to go from inadequate back to required improvement. We are the only four divisional type of integrated trust in the country, and the complexity of our challenges, I have been warning people, may make that 19 months a longer journey. However, the improvements that we're making put us bang in the middle of the average for that improvement trajectory. It's also really important that my board, my executive team, don't miss deadlines and that we actually don't defer papers. And so I'm so sadly that you still think that's reality, and I'm happy to give you examples to apologise. But we are working extremely hard to make sure that we don't, that we're not the board that you have in the past. I do believe the help to account by our health and security members. We've had the opportunity, we have the opportunity because John, I don't think in 12 months I've been with the trust, he has missed one of our trust board meetings. So he gets to triangulate what we're telling in our papers with what he hears and what he sees within the trust. He's also been into the trust and had visits on numerous occasions where he's triangulating with our staff what he's hearing people say. And he also managed to get the whole of the old community to come on a visit fairly recently to look at some of the work that we do within our emergency floor plans. So I'm sad that we're not maybe communicating some of that in the most effective way. And I personally give you the invite to come and test out some of what you're hearing. But I do believe we're making progress.
Thank you. I'll take other comments. I think you're Gillian Hyde.
Can I ask on behalf of the CCG? I'm here for Larissa Alfay. And again, I share some of the sentiments that Maggie's actually echoed. I'm not a member of this board, but I'm not aware of what papers we've actually deferred and what we've not actually brought here. So again, it would be really helpful to have a sample so that we can follow that through. From a CCG perspective, we're in directions and we're at the start of our journey in terms of improvement. We're very aware we've got action plans in relation to what we need to do. It is going to take time to turn things around and actually be able to demonstrate that we're working in a different way. But I hope that we are starting to do that and that if we're not, that actually people will come and talk to us about that,
but
that they feel that we could actually make further improvement.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments from any other board members?
Right. Okay, so working. I'll check. As part of my role, I've actually reviewed the duties of the Health and Wellbeing Board from National Policy, and there's a few of them. One is to actually complete a health and wellbeing board strategy for the local area. That would be completed by reviewing the what we call JSNA's joint strategic needs assessments, and that is a function of the health and wellbeing board is to oversee those. There is a general duty to promote integration between the healthcare services and associated services, and there's also at times mention of reviewing equality and any deprivation. So those are the four main duties as I see them. Now those are to some extent shown in terms of reference of this board. Now that is in the constitution of the Isle-of-Wight Council. I was actually going to mention in my report actually that it might be time to review those terms of reference and just to, so that we're all clear. I think there's also a good point is the difference between this board and the Adult Social Care and Health Scrutiny Committee. And I know some work's been done on that previously, defining those and other organisations' roles. And I think that would probably be good to be completed so it's clear to everybody. But I think there's a real place for review in terms of reference.
Any other comments around the Paul?
Yes, a couple of comments. I'm not going to talk about the CCG because I've got separation from CCG. But within the trust, I read a lot of school reports, Ofsted reports. It reads the sort of same type of style of report. Once they give a rating, you've got to read the write up behind the rating. It's definitely positive thoughts about comments about how this trust is now set up, Matthew personally, how the executive board is now working. And because the report is in January, come October, it'll be sort of 8-9 months since that report. So it's a good time at the next Health and Wellbeing Board to have, you know, what have you done in 9 months? It'd be good to sort of share those success stories. I'm not as experienced as Councillor Brodie in the way we did, but to have the right on what you've done over the last 8-9 months. And also the timing of Ofsted, some of your next visit is interesting because if I related to a school, if a school was inadequate, I'd want that school to be RI as soon as possible, because that gives a confidence to not only the public, but the people working in the trust, that then we can recognise that we've improved from inadequate to required improvement. The danger, of course, as you quite rightly point out, is that you don't get that next inspection if you're required improvement for possibly 3 years, and you want it quicker and show you good quicker. But RI with evidence improvement to a board like this, that you are, you are going to be good at the next inspection, that gives a confidence to staff and the public, which might be the way to cope, possibly. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you want to come back on those?
I take your words on board. It's a Bungay line that we're trying to play, really. I think if we get to the autumn and we think we've got to go, then that would be great, because we'll definitely invite them to come on to post inspections. And so I really do think as a board we need to consider that. But like you, I'd like nothing more than be able to sit here and say we've achieved our eye in some of those areas. I do think, David, if you don't mind, I will take counsel from John after this meeting, because the session that we are organising for the Overview and Scrutiny Committee in September, I'll take some advice from them after this meeting, but we could widen that and do it as a seminar session and invite other people in, and then we could demonstrate the improvements that we're making. But it was specifically aimed at our Overview and Scrutiny colleagues, so we can come back and if John thinks that's acceptable.
So I've already written a proposal along those lines, funny enough. I just wanted to make sure everybody on the board had a chance to speak, and then I'm going to put something forward. Carol?
Thank you. I asked this question for two reasons. First, because of what is the statutory duty of this board, which is to encourage, that's what the legislation says, integrated working. And also because CQC have announced that they are seeking legislation to be able to inspect systems leadership. So my question is, Maggie, with lots of partners, myself included in the room, are we doing what you need us to do in terms of supporting the trust in its own improvement journey? Because I think where so many of us are is exactly with you, which is putting those who serve at the centre, not an organisational sovereignty.
So a very good question, really, Carol, and I welcome, as I know we've had conversations at local care board, it's absolutely the right thing for the CQC to do is the systems review as opposed to residual organisations. It is, I believe, from the theory why the CQC wants to do that, so the pilot work, it is aimed at having system levels improvement, not just isolated improvements. It would be great for the island, I think. I think on an individual organisational basis, everyone is very supportive of the recovery of our organisation. Without doubt, the priorities that the local care board set were set to actually ensure the most rapid improvements possible within the acute sector. If you remember, I know the CCG colleagues will remember, we looked at not doing things that would distract the getting to good of the acute trust in relation to the other priorities that we have as a system. I think we've been talking more recently at local care board about how we refocus some of that work and what is our strategy on island to get to an integrated health and social care provider in the future. And I think it's the development of that work that will definitely have an impact on our well-led and our CQC inspections in the future. But right now, I'm not sat here asking any other organisation to do anything differently than how it has responded in the last 12 months. So on an individual level,
Thank you, Chair. As ever, I will raise things because I'm here accountable to other people as an elected person, just as you are, Chair, just as Councillor Brady is. The vast majority of people in here have a professional investment in success, and I understand that. That will always be my role elected member to challenge, and what I endeavoured to do by my early remarks was to convey my sense of frustration at the way I have been constantly, along with other members, fobbed off by previous trust board, trust representatives and CCG representatives about how wonderful the acting is on the Isle of Wight and NHS. and it clearly wasn't. And Captain Nicholson would understand that sense of frustration as well. We sat on the committee together 4 years before he became the chair of that committee. I recognise that the Trust is on a very positive journey, and I think Mrs. O'Neill has obviously had a beneficial effect there along with her colleagues and a change in the nature of the board. I think the CCG still needs to be on that journey, to be frank. Their previous chief officer is now gone. Retirement basis, I understand, but it does need to start that journey as a matter of some urgency, in my view. But I think I use the word deferral. I think what I say, a sense of frustration that it's always, we're going to do this, we're getting this, but we never seem to make any progress. I think that's what I'm concerned about. It's always, next time we'll be able to tell you something more, but we don't hear it actually learn anything else. You know, we've got the mental health blueprint coming up from the CCG shortly as well, which is an interesting document. How many years has this taken us to get to a document that other parts of the country have had in place for a significant number of years? But I mean, it is my role, representing the members of the Allied Associated Local Councils, to raise and challenge things, particularly when health is such a topical issue at the moment, particularly what I perceive personally is the continued destruction of our National Health Service. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. And actually, I would worry if you didn't raise something. Because,
you would.
I would don't think.
I was
ill. So I think it's good that we professionally air where we feel about things, and I like that approach. I'm going to propose a couple of things, but just before I do, I probably should have mentioned my colleague over here, Ian Lloyd. And I mustn't use the word scrap off, but I understand for other organisations that means something bad. But from my policing background, it means you put something on a special piece of work. And we have put Ian Lloyd on a special piece of work to actively help everybody look at integrated working, the one public service concept, we call it, but with our partners in CCG and with the partners in health and with the police and with the voluntary sector. And I'm really pleased that we as a local authority are leading on this, because I think it's a signal to everybody, and I hope that message can be played out today. We fully support integrated working. There is a difference between integrated working and loss of sovereignty. I'm not intending everybody to become police officers tomorrow or anything like that, although Sarah could do the extra staff. But this is about the Isle of Wight public service and voluntary sector looking at how we can best deliver services in the climate that we're in. And I'm really pleased that we've got someone of Ian's calibre dealing with this. Obviously, we'll be expected to deliver on this, but that's life. So that's the first thing to let you know that. The second thing is, I think it's a good point, we will review our terms of reference for the next meeting. I think it's a sensible thing to do at this point in time. And the third proposal I want to make is that outside of this board, I as chair, together with John Nicholson as chair of the Health and Adult Social Scrutiny Committee, together with yourself, Maggie Fryant, and with the CCG League at that time, wherever that may be, we have a meeting to agree a way forward that we can then bring back to the October Health and Wellbeing Board that we're all comfortable is the right way forward. And then, say, we're not scrutinising, but I would like to be able to tell this board, we've had that meeting, we've agreed where we're going, it fits with our plan, and I think that will give reassurance to the board, but probably more importantly, reassurance to the island that we're not letting this go. I certainly know the budget. And if John's happy with that approach, then we will do that. Is that okay, members? Can you just indicate you're happy with that or not? I'll take the nods of approval, so we'll do that. That's the first good step. I know we spent half an hour or so on that, but I think it's a really important area, and I'm grateful maybe for you coming and giving us that frank position. Okay, so shall we move then now to item 6, which is the sustainability transformation.